clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soucy.
Staring out at us with his yellow eyes. He had yellow eyes, so help me God, yellow eyes.
Lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. Thank you, Melissa.
Yes.
And we have a blog, and you can read that blog at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard, the man behind the board, giving me sound bites from overrated films.
Oh, that was a good one.
I'm sorry, I just don't.
Apparently,
get
the Christmas story is over Matt's head.
No, it's not over my head.
You didn't know what it was.
I did not know the line. You know why? Because I didn't. It wasn't on 24-hour rotation on TNT. No film. I don't care if it's Nigella Lawson, Giada De Laurentiis pillow fight is worth 24 hours on TNT. Well, maybe that. But anyway, let's save that. Let's save that elitist rant for December. All right. Sitting in with me, actress, storyteller, artist, chanteuse, Deborah Asante. How are you, m'lady?
I'm fine and happy to be here.
We appreciate it. She's going to be part of Suki Lou's Traveling Juke Joint, which is going on Circle City Classic Weekend, and it's at the Fringe Theater, and we'll talk a little more about that in just a little bit. But there's something we needed to address right off the bat. Kobe and I were talking before the show. Mrs. Sande, I believe my engineer here is either I showed my age or he showed his age.
Uh-oh.
we were...
I forgot what you were talking about here for a second.
Now it's coming, you know, back. Yep. not since Kobe's lunch choice angst, which we addressed on the show a few weeks back. But Kobe informed me he thinks he may have suffered from heartburn, not the Meryl Streep film with Jack Nicholson. But I said, well, it's okay. It happens. Heartburn happens. And what was your response, Kobe?
Old people get heartburn.
See what she's doing there? Yep.
Okay.
So
maybe like once upon a time that was true.
Yeah.
But not the way we eat, not the society.
It's true. Mr. Slagle, I suggest you get some fruit flavored chalk and suck it up and take it. I understand, because for a long time I didn't know if I had heartburn
because
in the commercials. Well, I don't feel like there's flames bursting through my chest.
Yeah, like you just feel this like uncomfortable like need to burp sensation.
But you know what? A commercial doesn't look good if you're, boy, I feel uncomfortable. I feel the need to burp. No, let's just put bad CGI flames going through a person's chest. Yeah. So,
I bet the same thing is true for like athlete's foot. Like flames don't shoot up between your toes
or hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
Or now the recent one. Can you turn down Mr. Mayfield? This discussion does not. He doesn't. He wrote that song for a fine film, not for this discussion. But like the current commercials where the guys who have razor burn, you know, flames are not shooting out of their faces. So, you're welcome to life. You have heartburn, and we have heartache. That's all there is to it. But we still got movies opening this week, so I want to bring these up. We're talk about what else is opening this week before we get to the main fun. Abduction, it's an action film from Taylor Lautner, directed by John Singleton.
I hear it's shot in Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh?
It takes place in Pittsburgh. I think they were taking locations that Dark Knight Rises was not taking, And you know it's set in Pittsburgh because Mr. Lautner's wearing what in
the
trailer?
He's wearing a Roberto Clemente jersey.
Just in case.
Just to show everybody how real he is.
Keeping it
real.
I
don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
Nope.
John Singleton
is directing this. Do you remember? Let's think about this. It has been over 20 years since Boys in the Hood.
Right.
And sadly, I think Mr. Singleton has just become director for hire. Yeah. Now, usually when you do something like, even to a degree, the Shaft remake, which was okay, but when you do other pictures, it feels like, really, are you just you're just being a director? Maybe you're saving up to do a pet project or something, and we're still waiting for it because his results weren't always high, home runs, and it's frustrating when you get nominated for an Oscar for your first time as a director. And, everybody kind of, we're talking about it right now. But at least films like Higher Learning, Poetic Justice, Rosewood, they're ambitious. Mm-hmm. And, some various degrees of flaws for each of those. But I give that for ambition. I'm wondering this or the Too Fast, Too Furious. He did the Fast and Furious sequel. So okay.
Did he do Three Fast, Three Furious?
No, I think that was Justin. No, that was Tokyo Drift. That was Justin Lin.
Yeah.
Why do I know that? Because I have the show.
Because you watch movies, so we don't have to.
That's right. That's what I live by. Anyway, here's hoping Mr. Singleton finds something. We also have Dolphin Tale. And no, it's...
Because it's about a dolphin
tale. It's not about the bad football team in Miami. it's not the Dan Marino story. Oh. But that's there. And Killer Elite with Jason Statham, Clive Owen and his mustache, and Robert De Niro... Not a remake of the Sam Peckinpah film from the 70s with James Caan and Robert Duvall, because we already talked about Peckinpah remakes last week with Straw Dogs. Mm. This is not one of them. So, and I think you need more Peckinpah on your queue there, Mr. Slagle. Okay. You know what? Peckinpah movies cure heartburn. And you need the movie heartburn, but we'll get to that.
Have you seen Straw Dogs?
I did. I saw it last week. And I prefer the original.
Oh, wow.
This one, Rod Lurie's version, I have to give him credit that he does follow the basic storyline throughout the first three quarters of it, and then it just kind of becomes a revenge flick and rah-rah. Okay. And yeah. You're actually supposed to be disgusted that a meek man goes to such lengths for violence and, overbearing his wife. So, yeah, I'd say find the original if you must. But just a reminder, as I said 2 weeks ago with the studio full of women, not a date film.
No.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. No. So, however, opening today is Moneyball. This is a film based on the Michael Lewis book, bestseller, about Billy Beane, general manager of the Oakland Athletics. This time he's played by Brad Pitt. And don't you wish all general managers. I wish all general motors look like Brad Pitt. And I wish all general managers look like Brad Pitt. But he brings in Jonah Hill, who plays, Peter Brand. Yeah, it's a character that's based on somebody else. They had to change the name to protect the embarrassed. I don't know. They just changed it. But a new form of baseball team selection and management. It's more about stats and cybermetrics and other sports nerds terms. And it's not about crusty old men picking out who's got a great swing. So here's some audio.
There are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us.
That's a dollar, man.
What?
Welcome to Oakland.
I need more money.
We're not New York. Fine players
with the money that we do have.
I like Perez.
Got an ugly girlfriend. Ugly girlfriend means no confidence.
You guys are talking the same old nonsense like we're looking for Fabio. We got to think differently.
Who's Fabio?
Your goal shouldn't be to buy players. Your goal should be to buy wins. And in order to buy wins, you need to buy runs.
Who are you?
I'm Peter Brand.
First job in baseball?
It's my first job anywhere.
We're going to shake things up. Why don't you walk me through the board?
I believe there's a championship team that we can afford because everyone else undervalues them, like an island of misfit toys.
We want you at first base. I've only ever played catcher. It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
He can't throw.
But what can he do?
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
He gets on base.
We are card counters at the blackjack table.
We're going to turn the odds on the casino.
I'm heading in. Text me the play-by-play.
Wait, what?
I don't watch the games.
Billy Beane has tried to reinvent a system that's been working for years. And it was a nice theory, just not working out.
How long is Billy Beane going to last?
He's proven himself right out of a job.
In their minds, it's threatening the game. It's threatening the way that they do things.
Hey, Daddy, do you think you'll lose your job?
What? Where did you hear that?
Well, I go on the internet sometimes.
Don't go on the internet. Watch TV or talk to people. You're discounting what scouts have done for 150 years? What the hell am I doing?
What is happening in Oakland?
It defies everything we know about baseball.
Just plain crazy!
If we win with this team, we'll have changed the game.
This better work. I'm just kidding.
Now, I follow baseball. My beloved Tigers are doing very well. Mm. Yeah, I said it. Yep. It's my bloody show. And so I was intrigued to see how they were going to make a film out of this because I'm still trying to figure out some of the stats that are being thrown around these days. You know, I apparently still have home runs, RBIs, and batting average brain, and I need to learn some of the other ones like on base. I know what on base percentage is, but when you start dividing and multiplying and adding and all the stuff of this percentage and that percentage, it tends to overwhelm. And I wondered how they were going to do this with the film. Well, it helps when you have a screenplay that's co-written by Aaron Sorkin and Steve Zaillian. Aaron Sorkin won an Oscar last year for The Social Network. Mm. And you could say that this is kind of the Social Network for film nerds. There's just enough discussion of the mechanics of this form of team selection, but you're not bowled over with the numbers. Steve Zaillian won an Oscar for Schindler's List. He's also written such films as American Gangster, Civil Action, Gangs of New York, Searching for Bobby Fischer, Falcon and the Snowman, a very impressive resume. And once you get past all the numbers and you see the story of an ambitious young GM played by Brad Pitt who is trying to break an old tradition of baseball. The scene where you hear about the, you know, who's Fabio, there's a fun scene because there's these old scouts that have been doing it their entire lives. And he's trying to make them change their way of thinking, which is really tough to do. And
change is hard.
Change is hard. And a change is going to come. And you also have Philip Seymour Hoffman showing up as Art Howe, who, as our coworker Tracy says, has great baseball gut as the manager who's going to pick the players and work with them the way he wants. So there's a clash of old and new, of old school, new school, as well as styles of business. Brad Pitt is the producer on this film. And I think it's one of the best things he's done. It's a very, yeah, I joked about, don't you wish all GMs look like Brad Pitt? But this is Shaggy Dog Brad Pitt because he's not perfect. He's constantly moving. We kept a food count. He's constantly eating something. That's why I don't play the part. And, trying to surge forward, not only with his family, he's divorced, and you get some really wonderful scenes with the actress playing his daughter. But he's got some nice chemistry with Jonah Hill. Yes, Jonah Hill is in a drama.
I like Jonah Hill.
I do like Jonah Hill. And it's funny because I was watching Superbad this past week, because I watch anything for $2. And the fact that he campaigned for this, he wanted to be in a drama because he didn't want to be just stuck doing Superbad, Get Into the Greek, yeah, and everything else he's known for. Right. And when you bring, Deborah, you back me up on this, when you have a quote-unquote dramatic actor or actress and they get to do a comedy or vice versa, you are able to take your strengths and utilize that in. And there are some very funny moments with Hill and Pitt. And there's also some touching moments between the two of them. The fact that the Jonah Hill character, as he said, this is his first job out of college, first job period. He's got a degree from Harvard in economics. What the hell is he doing in baseball? Well, it turns out really good. And I love the analogy of the land of misfit toys is trying to find people like David Justice at that time, 36-year-old David Justice trying to find a place to play. So all of that, the baseball footage is pretty good. Will you get flashbacks to The Natural? Maybe not really, but there is a really cool moment involving a win streak that is a public record, so I don't think I'm spoiling anything. Get over it. But this was really fun to watch, and I think had I not seen Social Network, which was my top film of last year, I would probably give this film an even higher grade, except I don't give grades. I give sound bites. But really, really enjoyable. I'm really happy they were able to pull this one off. And
I want to see it.
Well, you should see it. You should see it. And yes, I'm going to be one of those people. I guess you have to see it opening weekend because it's all about opening weekend dollars. And I would say it's worth seeing at night. Yes, with your better half.
Because that's just sweet Bianca.
The fair sweet Bianca. But yes, some movies are worth seeing at the matinee because it's cheaper. But
right.
You know what? Make an investment in Moneyball. It's really, really well done.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you. Okay, so got a couple other notes going on. The Paramount Theater up in Anderson, and this is one of my favorite. This is the place I really got hooked, or I should say, stoked on old movie theaters. Well, it was the Fox Theater in Detroit. And the Paramount here in Anderson. But they have what's going on, the Homegrown Hoosier Film Festival. And this is going on tomorrow if you want to check that out. Go to the Paramount Theater Ballroom website for more information. But that is going on, an all-day pass. You can get information on passes for morning, noon, and night. But that is going on here as well as at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. And it's going to start in less than an hour. The opening party for the B-Movie Celebration. You can go to bmoviecelebration.com for information. Some of the things they're showing include the 1966 film version of Batman.
How neat is that? That's pretty neat.
Somebody's been playing in audio. So, yeah, films like the Beach Blanket Bingo, Dragon Crusaders, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Director's Cut of The Cellar, Biohazard 2, Mold, Rocky Horror Picture Show is going to be a Saturday night at midnight, Halloween, among others. So, yeah, there's lots of B-movie stuff going on. So, bmoviecelebration.com. How are you, Deborah?
I'm doing good.
No.
I want to ask you about some movies, though.
Ask away.
Because I haven't been in a long time.
Well, you've been busy. You've been preparing. You've been tapping into your inner blues diva.
Right, but I love movies.
So what do you want to know? I'll do my best.
The Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
I don't even know if that's still in theaters anymore.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I missed that one. That's Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
No, it's a haunted house story with Katie Holmes, but it's not the Tom Cruise house, and she's not buried in the pit.
No.
The Scientology pit. No, that's not it.
No, but that director is supposed to be known to do something.
Yes, direct. I'm sorry. I usually save those comments for Mr. Slagle over there. And Red Clay was a great album.
It was a great album.
And so what? But, so was Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, Robert Cray Band. Sorry.
But isn't he a Quentin buddy or something?
He might
director?
Be. Mr. Slagle, could you IMDb Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, please?
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah,
see, this is why he's here, when he's not Googling actresses from the day.
Yeah, this is why I wear the collared shirts.
Wow. Straight from the Academy, Rook.
Oh, dang it. You made me mess up the thing.
I made you mess up. You're typing. I made you mess up. We'll continue the show.
Hear that? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You're welcome.
Jerk.
And what about the... Jessica
Daniel. Alba?
No, the one, how does she do it? Or
oh, how does she do it? That's the Sarah Jessica Parker film.
Yes. Sarah Jessica
Parker, and I missed that one too. Although,
oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. What did I review last? Oh, Straw Dogs. I reviewed.
Right.
I wound
right.
up talking about Straw Dogs instead. So I'm sorry. Yes, sir. You have a...
Oh, I'm just on the main page here. Daniel Craig is going to be in Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark while I talk about this. The other thing that went with the screening last night, I should say, was an 8-minute trailer for the remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh.
And I was... Yes, you have the answer?
No. I had a question about that.
Can I finish my thought before? Yep. Okay, great. As I was saying, there's an 8-minute trailer for the David Fincher version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yes, Daniel Craig is in it, Peter Sarsgaard, Christopher Plummer, Robin Wright Penn, who's also in Moneyball, playing Sean Penn's ex-wife, or Sean Penn, Brad Pitt's ex-wife. Wow, Dr. Freud. But I'm intrigued, and only because it's David Fincher, the man who gave us Seven and Fight Club and all those films, and, of course, Social Network. So it is set in Scandinavia. So I thought they were really going to Americanize it, and they are not. So I'm intrigued, and it's not a shot-for-shot remake. It's not Gus Van Sant doing Psycho. So anyway, there was an 8-minute trailer with the film, and people actually applauded. And I usually don't review trailers because they're trailers. Their job is to look good.
Right.
Big deal. But no, I was pretty impressed.
You saw the
with
originals?
This. I did. I saw. I love the first film. Second film was okay. Three was kind of disappointing.
Right. The first
and
one was wonderful.
So I'm wondering if they just stick with this one, that would really be okay by me. And I don't see David Fincher making a trilogy. I just don't. Mm. So yes, Mr. Slego, you had a question.
Yes. They're remakes, but they just came out a couple years ago.
Yes, yeah, that happens.
So why are they?
Because Middle America hates subtitles.
Wait, no, but they're foreign.
Yeah,
yes, they're foreign.
Foreign
film. Okay. It's a Swedish film that originally, and right. And people and don't
and the woman who played the lead character, oh, she was fabulous,
and was offered the role in the remake. Said no.
Really?
She didn't want to do it. She's committed how much time to this character for three films?
Right.
She was ready to move on. I have to give her props for that.
Right.
I mean, she could have easily taken a check, done a character she had already done before. Granted, she'll have to do it in English, but to commit to that. But she's an artist. She's moved on to something else. Mm-hmm. So something to be said about that.
Yeah, she's special. Who's doing it in this version?
It's another unknown. So okay. I think that was also another smart move is to bring in somebody who is because I think if you cast somebody, and this happens all the time when they start casting a film based on a very popular book or a play, and a certain person gets cast, certain audiences are just going to go batty. Just insane. I know there the Hunting Game. Is that the I'm lost. I don't review books. But when Renee Zellweger got cast as Bridget Jones, English folks went crazy. And she actually wound up doing a really good job and getting an Oscar nomination for it. So there. So there's always going to be that. Everybody has their own perception of who that character should be.
Diana Ross is Billie Holiday.
Diana Ross is Billie Holiday. Diana Ross is Dorothy. Well, it wasn't Dorothy. It was
right. No, but she blew that. That was not that good. But
no.
But
when you
Lady
say
sings the blues
in 1972,
right? I was a kid and I had an opinion
because she had just gone solo a couple years before, and this was her next kind of big project. And yeah, folks, and she got a nomination for it. And she did a really good job in it.
Yeah.
So,
and I am a Billie Holiday fan. So to hear that she was, going to do it, I was, I was a kid too. I was like very adamant that she couldn't possibly.
Everybody's shaking her head too. This is great.
How could they do this? And then she knocked it out of the ballpark.
She did.
Everybody should be a Billie Holiday fan.
I agree.
Oh,
I agree.
Baby,
why?
Yeah.
Yes. That's the person that should be selling 10 million albums a year. Mm-hmm. And Albert Brooks should be making 20 million a picture. But that's why I'm here.
Okay. What was I looking up for Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
The director.
Troy Nixie.
What else is Troy done?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, then that's not who I thought it was.
It might be somebody who's a friend
Troy
of Tarantino's.
Nixie. Yeah. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, Latchkey's Lament, was a short. That's it.
That's it.
So it's not who I thought. Okay.
That's okay. That's all right. It's all good. We'll figure that out.
I'll wait for it on cable.
Yes. We got that, right? Tell me we got that.
Yep, I'm going to make a note here.
Deborah Sante, you are now part of the sometimes I feel like we just make the show just to find fishing for sound clips. Yeah. So you're on. That's good.
For that on
524.
That is so good.
Done.
It's 524 already.
It's 524.
Well, we should take a break and talk about what's new on. I'll talk slowly. We're going to talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. But first, I want to be quiet. The band REM called it quits this week after 31 years. Will you stop mocking them? I enjoy their music. Be quiet. And yes, how do I tie this into film sociology? Because I have, you know, there's a madness to my method. But let's not forget, they did the music and they did some of the score for Man in the Moon, the Milos Forman biopic on Andy Kaufman that starred Jim Carrey. Yep. Jim Carrey didn't get nominated for that. Oh, well. But this is a song. I know it's, you know, Man in the Moon was already made as a song for another album, so it wasn't made specifically for this. This song was made for the film. This is REM and The Great Beyond. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Stars fall silent from your eyes. All the sights that I have seen. I can't believe that I believed. I wish that you could see. There's a new planet in the solar system. There's nothing up my sleeve. I'm pushing an elephant up the stairs. I'm tossing up punchlines that were never there. Over my shoulder a piano falls, crashing to the ground. In all this talk of time, talk is fine.
One of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org, and I'm also on Facebook. Deborah Asante is hanging out with me, as is Kobe Slagle, mocking my enjoyment of the music of REM, who called it quits after 31 years during the break.
That's what that kind of amazes me.
What, that they've been around for 31 years?
Yes.
Are you even more amazed at the Rolling Stones?
No, but I mean, see, I had Monster.
50 years.
I got Monster on cassette when it came out in like 94, 95.
Yes, and I got
and
it
like,
on
that's,
CD.
That's what I didn't know anything before that.
Ah, see, I have to thank my friend from high school, Chris Worland, who first turned me on to REM back in 1985. I remember getting Fables of the Reconstruction on cassette, which I later bought on disc, and then kept going. Yeah, I was one of those that got their music on IRS before Warner Brothers. Deal with it. Mm. And by the way, they were better when they were young. No, they were better. They were cool before you liked them. But no, always liked REM. And it was funny because being in college when Green, Out of Time, and Automatic for the People came out. So interesting album choices for my college career. Mm. So thank you, Chris Worland, for turning them on to me, as well as the music of Dexter Gordon. Chris was one of those guys. He was a high school saxophone jazz freak, and he loved REM. So, thanks. Let's move on. Okay. Because of time, we'll mention some of the films that are available on DVD and Blu-ray. The big title this week is Bridesmaids. which
yes.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yes, so
oh,
expect lots of additional features. Are you Googling Kristen Wiig right now?
No, I'm
you're
I'm
working
out,
during
I'm
the show.
What all was on Monster?
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Yeah, I'm you're
You can't speak. That's why I'm hosting. All right. So Bridesmaids is out on DVD and Blu-ray. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Also, the 70th anniversary of Dumbo, that's out. So if you have kids or you are young at heart, check that out. The 50th anniversary of Breakfast at Tiffany's, fun romantic comedy with Audrey Hepburn and George Peppard. And unless we talk about Mickey Rooney's part, the better. The miniseries The Kennedys that no network was going to pick up, so they wound up getting on a smaller channel. That's Greg Kinnear, Katie Holmes, Barry Pepper, Tom Wilkinson. Kobe, you're freaking out over there. What's up?
Yeah, I saw a movie with Mickey Rooney.
What?
You
got to write this stuff down.
Love Finds Andy Hardy.
Ah. I didn't pick that out.
No. Nope.
I know who did.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was an impromptu version of What Is Kobe Watching? Got to write these down, sir.
I need to do that.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. Also on Blu-ray, The Others, the Nicole Kidman haunted house film where she sees dead people, sort of, kind of. Vamp. The only reason why I know this is it stars Chris Makepeace, for you fans of My Bodyguard, and Grace Jones. And it's
what?
A film of it's just done in the mid 80s. The only thing I can tell you, strip club with vampires. Not kidding. Not making this up. This just goes to show you they'll put anything on Blu-ray. It's like Scary Movie 2 and 3. Not 1, not 4, 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. And this is one, yeah. I'm going to have to talk to Mrs. Sosie about this one. The Sophia Loren Awards Collection, which features, including Sunflower, Marriage Italian Style, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And also on Blu-ray, in fact, I think this is straight to Blu-ray, and in fact, I think this might be his first straight-to-Blu-ray film called Setup, starring Bruce Willis, Curtis Jackson, I'm sorry, Mr. Cent, and Ryan Philippe. So there's all that. Oh, and Dead Heat, bizarre buddy comedy, dead to comedy movie with Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo. There you go. What are you doing over there?
Looking up Sophia Loren.
You know who Sophia Loren looks like.
Again, the same thing. 60s pretty.
She is not 60s
she
pretty.
She is totally 60s pretty.
She's beyond 60s pretty. Are you nuts?
She's a goddess.
See? You're gonna.
Wow.
Yeah.
60s pretty.
Because here's and let me explain that. Now that we're sub-referencing old shows, occasionally I will bring up an actress from another era, and I get a stone wall from my engineer, and I say, "Well, Google, see what she looks like." Now you've been impressed with some of them.
Yes.
Claudia Cardinale, Peggy Lipton. You like her daughter better. But anyway, last week we were talking about Straw Dogs, and we were talking about English actress Susan George, who was in the original. Well, he typed her up and looked her up and called her 60s pretty. And what's your definition of 60s pretty,
they
sir?
All have, they have the same look, same 60s look. And we talked about this.
Which is?
Not Sophia.
Yeah, go on. Go ahead and say it. Say it to Deborah.
What is the look?
I can't.
Short. You're talking about long, straight blonde hair, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Is Sophia Loren... Does she have long, straight blonde hair?
No. What was it?
Do you feel like a dope now?
What was the name of that other actress that you were the Straw Dogs?
That's Susan George. That's the one you coined 60s pretty.
Yes.
By the way, that film was 1971.
Yes. Okay, see, this is totally 60s. This is total 60s.
So, of course,
pretty.
I said to him, so if it's 70s pretty, it's like the Farrah hair, it's feathered, you know. Right. Or as Margaret Cho put it, you know, you're feathered so much the back of your head looks like a butt. And if it's the 80s, it's the frizzy, right, flammable hair. Yeah. And if it's 90s pretty, it's Jennifer Aniston's Rachel cut, right?
Yeah.
What's 00 pretty? 00 is pretty. You're so smart.
I don't know.
Yeah. Work on those stereotypes, will you? And really, you're going to lump Sophia Loren in with 60s pretty?
No, she's a goddess.
See? She's not even my wife.
And Kobe, it's probably because you have not seen any of her films or... Is this true?
No, I'm not seeing anything.
Right.
You haven't seen Grump. You haven't seen Grumpier Old Men.
Nope.
No.
Oh, no. Watch some of her old stuff. Yeah. She's like.
You know what? Boy on a Dolphin or Day of the Dolphin. No, Day of the Dolphin. Do Sophia Loren, Day of the Dolphin.
Okay.
Google search. Now, how about I talk to our guest while you're blowing time on the show? Man, thank you for backing me up on that, Deborah. Deborah Asante is sitting in with us, putting Mr. Slagle in his place, among other things. Actress, storyteller, artist, overall, just a wonderful lady. Thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
Here. And she's spending the weekend with me here at WFYI. She's going to be on the Blue Show tomorrow.
Yes.
But we have a grand opening, and it's Suki Lou's Travelin' Juke Joint. And this is next weekend,
yes,
during Circle City weekend. Two shows on Friday the 30th. And two shows on Saturday the 1st. And this is at the Indie Fringe Theater?
At the Indie Fringe Theater. And it's going to be something very different and special.
Because you've done, how many one-woman shows have you done?
Oh, wow.
I feel like I've spent more time with your characters than you.
Well, if you count storytelling, I'm doing a one-woman show all the time.
Life is a one-woman show. In my house, it's two. But go on.
Right, right. This is a character that I have created over the years. I was inspired in the Bay Area. I grew up, I came of age because I'm an Army brat, so I grew up all over the world.
Sure.
But I came of age in the Bay Area. And a good friend of mine, Michelle Lachaud, and myself created a piece called Blue Jazz Cabaret to pay tribute to those blues women that held it down in the 20s.
Memphis Minnie, Bessie Smith.
Yes, Ida Cox.
Alberta
Trixie.
Hunter.
Oh, yeah,
yes, Alberta Hunter.
Hunter, yep. You're right. Because she came back.
Right.
She held it down in the 20s and then was a maid for decades and then came back.
Exactly.
And created a sensation.
Correct.
So I fell in love with these kind of women. And in the Bay Area, I created a character called Susie Pearl. Now, Susie Pearl was harder than Suki Lou.
I'm going to say, how should I put this? Could she hold a conversation with somebody like Big Mama Thornton?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we can't talk about that on the air.
Right. She was really like, she did not play at all.
Right.
Now, Suki, somebody called her mean, and she said, no, I just mean business.
That's on your business card, isn't it?
I'm not mean. I just mean business.
That's a song title right there.
Well, you know, so Suki is sassy and not so much hard as Susie Pearl.
Okay.
So the Traveling Juke Joint is going to be a blues party. And
well, that sounds familiar.
Yes, yes, yes. I knew you would love it. Because I've got all these great blues songs, and it's timeless.
Yes.
It's timeless. I don't want it to be, even though I'm inspired by these women from the 20s, and Suki is definitely got that kind of, you know, that juice. She brings that back. But it is timeless. It's blues at any time.
Exactly.
So you're going to hear old blues, new blues, and I'll have guest stars come in, different people, different shows, and... because Suki is having problems with her opening act.
Uh-oh.
They want more money, so they show up or don't show up. And so she don't get up in front of a crowd that ain't warm.
Right.
They got to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I got people coming and getting up, and Suki's going to give free advice on love.
That's L-U-V. Kobe, write that down. Jot that down.
On love, honey. Everybody need to understand. So...
And this is also, and I saw Suki at Penrod.
Yes.
A couple of weeks back.
Oh, my goodness.
This is back in the days when you dressed up to go out. You know, everything matched.
Sequins and furs.
And that's the guys.
And feathers. And, right.
Right.
But at Penrod, it was so funny. Suki was walking, and this man was like winking at her, but he was standing by his woman. She hollered at him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She caught him?
She said, don't be winking at me when you standing by your woman. And the woman looked up and the man started laughing, you know, because he was caught red-handed.
but not full-handed.
No. Then there was
also
this,
a song title.
Then this guy was looking at her through the side, you know, like sideways, looking at.
Oh,
sideways.
We don't know what you're talking about. What is this sideways look that you talk about?
When you don't show your face to the person, like, okay, Matt's over there, and I'm looking like this.
My wife doesn't even look at me. No, I'm kidding. She does.
Sideways. That's what they call it.
Peripheral vision.
And so he was standing behind these women, and Suki thought that he was with the women. That's why he was looking sideways. He couldn't, you know, mm-hmm. get up his nerve to look full on. And the women walked away, and he stood there still looking sideways. So she asked him. She said, "What's wrong with you, babe? Why are you looking sideways? Were you with them women?" He said, "No." She said, "Well, look full on then, baby. Look full on." He said, "My wife is somewhere around here." So she said, "All right, go ahead, look sideways."
Write that down too, Kobe. Look sideways. Speaking of looking sideways, did you find Day of the Dolphin?
Boy on a Dolphin will forever be remembered for one thing. Boy, Sophia Loren, age 23, rising from the waters of the Mediterranean, her mustard yellow shirt soaked and clinging to her beauty queen figure. This was her Hollywood debut, and boy, was it eye-catching, even if her character is a bit stroppy.
Is that 60s pretty?
No, she's a babe.
Yeah, thank you.
She is a babe.
Yeah, I'll continue with my interview while you ponder your thoughts.
I wouldn't
yourself.
Steer you wrong, baby.
Yeah, that's a film that launched 1,000 boys into men, among other things. So, can you tell us some of the music that's going to be on? It's funny you talk about timeless because, you know, we a few years back we lost Coco Taylor,
yes,
and Etta James
yes.
is still hanging,
yes.
still hanging on. But even somebody like Shamika Copeland, who was
this past summer
was dubbed the new queen of the blues,
really?
by Coco's daughter, by Mrs. Dixon, Willie Dixon's wife, Jimmy
what?
Reed's wife, and got Coco's crown on stage at the Chicago Blues Festival.
Oh, get out of here.
And it's so funny because Shamika has been doing this for a dozen years. So I would mm-hmm. say, I'm not going to guess because it's a woman's age, but I think she has a 3 in her age, and she's still considered a fairly newbie in
right.
the blues world and jazz
right.
world. So
right.
you're an embryo to you're at least 50.
Right.
So
stick around. Well, Suki's music that she comes on stage is by Big Mama Thornton. They call me Big Mama because I weigh 300 pounds. Because Suki used to weigh almost 400 pounds, and she done lost some weight.
Colts could have used her. Got that front line there.
Well, she does play games.
And that was a... Yes. Well, and I wondered if that was a throw... Because I can't remember which was written first, and I should, but Willie Dixon wrote the tune 300 Pounds of Heavenly Joy.
It's different.
I know it's different, but I couldn't remember if that was a response to that. Because, like, I'm a Woman was a response to the Bo Diddley tune I'm a Man,
which was
Mannish Boy by Muddy Waters. So.
Right.
Anyway, I'll check the dates on that.
Yeah.
But that's that kind of thing happens with that. Also, Ruth Brown. Ruth Brown was got to be another woman from those Atlantic recordings.
Yes, but she skipped out on us. There's going to be some Bobby Blue Bland. The women are the base of it because this
right.
is a tribute, ultimately a tribute to the blues women. Just by the presence of Suki Lou, that's what she represents for me. But we're going to put in, you know, some. I was out last night at AJ's listening to their juke.
Yeah,
they got a nice jukebox over there.
Excellent.
And they have this, but I can't go into it because I don't know the guy who's singing it. But it wasn't me. Do you know that song?
It wasn't me. I have to check.
It's
check on that.
Right. It's a slow blues,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking about if you didn't find my drawers, you didn't find my pants, it wasn't me, and all this.
That sounds like Bobby Rush, man.
It wasn't Bobby Rush.
No, it wasn't Bobby Rush because
Bobby
would show you the drawers. And it's not Bobby Bland.
No, it's
but with Bobby
Bland,
you
else.
Need you also need the pops and cracks that he still does to this day.
I love his growl. His oh. He was in town some years back, and I was on the front row, and I was
I bet you were.
Oh, I was.
He occasionally pops. I don't know if he still does the shows with BB up in Merrillville. That's about as close as he gets.
Yeah.
And I know he's also getting up there in age. Yeah. So we have to wait
but
on
he's
that
such,
one.
He's such a wonderful. And Bobby Rush with his big butt girls.
Bobby's played at the Noodle. You have not.
When was the last time he was at the Noodle?
He was probably there about 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
But yeah, he's played there a couple of times. Yeah, you have not lived till you've seen a Bobby Rush show.
Wow.
Old school. Chitlin Circuit Soul with the backup dancers, the bottom heavy backup dancers, I should say.
Let me tell you, my husband was ready to leave me for one of them. I was like, hey, snap out of it.
Yeah, here. Don't talk about Emma's nannies that way. But Bobby has this bit with giant underpants. It's I really, really probably shouldn't get into. But a showman, singer, harmonica player, guitar player. It's kind of, you know, Cheeseboro is kind of influenced by Mr. Rush and Nigel. Tony would probably say vice versa.
Else. I would love to see
he
him.
He plays Chicago quite often. So anyway,
even if it's in Chicago, let me know. If you know he's somewhere nearby, let me know. I was at Gip's Place, a juke joint in Bessemer, Alabama in August.
Okay?
And Bobby Rush comes there sometimes.
Cool.
It was a juke joint.
Yes. Capital
for
J.
Real.
Capital J.
That
yes.
inspired Suki to open up her traveling juke joint.
Excellent.
Because it was so much fun.
And that reminds
so
me.
So down home.
There was a place in North Memphis called Wild Bill's. And I went there
really?
A few years back. And the
was
beer,
it a juke joint?
Not like the ones in Alabama, okay. But it had juke joint elements. Yes.
Okay.
Welcome to Black Culture, hosted by the white guy. But the beers came in two sizes, 24-ounce and 40-ounce.
Wow.
With an old-fashioned fridge with a giant handle.
Right.
Yeah, not the bar fridge, home refrigerator
right,
that came
right.
in there. And I'm the only Caucasian within a very big radius, and this was one of my best moments at a club. It was a band, house band playing, really good. I'm the only one not dancing. I'm just there with my beer, enjoying the show. And this older woman, I'm going to say 60s, if that, grabs my arm, pulls me up on because I'm kneeling, and I resist. And she pulls me up, and I start to dance. And 10 seconds into it, she says, "You're right, sit down."
You told me that story once before. That's a good story.
Yeah.
White guy.
It's like, I told you. I'm that guy that just holds up the wall in the corner. Yeah, that's great.
It taps your foot.
That's right. Yep. If that,
uh-huh.
But it's still the offbeat. So anyway,
so are you like Steve Martin and the Jerk? This is my music.
I don't like tab. All right, so anyway, this is during Circle City Classic Weekend, and of course, part of this goes to some of
the
fun.
To the Asante Children's Theater.
And how are things going at Asante Children's
well,
Theater?
Well, it's safe to say things is kind of rough and hard, you know, finance wise. The funding is always, you know, is always a little dicey, even in good times. But we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're still on board, and we need everybody's support.
There you go.
Okay.
So and for
doing
more
great work.
For more information on Asante Children's Theater, they go to
Asante Children's Theater.org.
And of course, Suki Lou's Traveling Juke Joint is one weekend, two nights, four shows during Circle City Classic. Two shows, 8 and 10 Friday night and Saturday, October 1st, 8 and 10 at the Indy Fringe Theater, which is 719 East St. Clair Street.
That's next weekend, yeah?
That is next weekend.
Yep.
That's Circle City Classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to have beer, wine, and chicken wings.
You're going to have a Pigfoot? As Billy
you can bring
once sang, BYOPF, bring your own Pigfoot. I like that.
Yeah, I like to say beer, wine, chicken wings, and suki.
We'll get you a platter.
Mm-hmm.
Not the platters. That's a whole other thing. So Deborah, old, new, doesn't matter. What movies have you been watching recently? Have you been watching? Have you had time?
I haven't really had time, but you know, that's my great escape. I go to the movies.
The Steve McQueen film? No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
No. Go to the movies. I love to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
What did I see recently that was really, I liked?
Well, while you ponder that.
Well,
that's for fine radio. quiet thinking.
Right. Well.
Between that and your writing, Kobe. You know, so, all right, we'll mention this a little bit. First off, the mini rant is, you know, representation of blues in cinema. You think jazz people have it hard? Lady yeah. Sings the Blues, Crossroads. Great. What else we got? No. I remember seeing the first time I saw Lady Sings the Blues, and it was the same thing like you, where I couldn't believe it was going to be Diana Ross singing Billie Holiday. And, of course, they put an album out with that as well. And did a really, really fine job. This and this worked for a couple things. It put her to a new level, brought Billy Dee Williams to a new level.
Yes,
this is when
sure
he got the one of my favorite articles, Dark Gable.
Yeah.
And the first dramatic performance from Richard Pryor. He played Piano Man, which
was,
a lot of people forget he was in that.
No, how can you forget? He was unforgettable.
And the fact that he was only able to do a couple other dramatic films after that. Blue Collar, I still think, is his best film work. That's not a concert film, which I still strongly recommend. But, yeah, it was just a really impressive performance. But, and a great 101 for Billie Holiday, I think.
Yes, but it wasn't a blues. Billie Holiday is really not a blues.
No, she's not. But I love, as you know, that wonderful gray area where jazz and blues kind of mesh together.
And that moment where they show you her inspiration, Bessie Smith, how she was hanging over that recording of Bessie, you know. That's her roots. But we have yet to see, and we have yet to see a blues movie. I can't think of any.
Well,
even Crossroads.
No, Crossroads.
Me,
I'm sorry. The devil would never pick Steve Vai as a guitarist, and no way Ralph Macchio beats Steve Vai in a guitar battle.
No, plain and simple.
It's
nope. not.
Black Snake Moan, which has
it's a
blues film, but it's not.
But it's
not a definitive. I understand. There's.
But Matt, they're the 20s. When you look at those women, that. Who could not make a movie about that? That for that one decade, women held down the blues. And what women they were. Ma Rainey,
exactly.
Bessie Smith on her own. Why hasn't there been a film about Bessie? She was crazy. She was crazy brilliant. She was crazy, like, bold. When I say Suki pays tribute, that boldness, because Susie didn't have nothing on Bessie. Bessie ran. You know the story about Bessie protecting one of her girlfriends because she went both ways.
Yep.
And one, she got mad at somebody and they stabbed her, and she ran with the knife in them.
Mm-hmm.
With her, she ran with the knife in her after them to beat them down.
That's what we call around here hardcore.
Right. That's hardcore.
That is hardcore.
That's hardcore, but that was Bessie. But the Alberta Hunter, all these women and the times, the Roaring Twenties. Why isn't there a movie? And I happen to have a screenplay.
You do?
Yes, I do. About a singer who starts out as a blues singer and makes that crossover into jazz in the 50s.
Can you send it to Tyler Perry and tell him he can't cast himself in it?
Oh.
I'm sorry. That was easy.
Don't talk about Mr. Perry because he's doing it. I don't care what nobody says.
I understand.
He is.
I understand.
He's working. He's putting his work out
there. Good. Now, can he do the Bessie Smith story for us, please?
I don't know if I want him to do the Bessie Smith, but somebody.
It has to be financing. You got to get the money somewhere.
Yeah.
And of course. Let's not. If Norman Jewison tries to do it, then some other filmmakers get upset.
Yeah.
And if we tell them to do it, we can only tell these types of stories? So it's almost a catch-22 on that. I would love to see a biopic or a pic about these women of the 20s, because these were strong, strong, independent women that kind of, sticked it up up the highway of not just men of all colors. So the fact that they were that independent,
that they ran their own game.
Yes, they ran their own business. They had
and
their own.
And that time, that facing that adversity of what was going on then. If you think about that, and they were successful. Now, why just the 20s? The depression came, but the blues men continued on, and maybe because they could hop the trains and with their guitar, and they were walking juke joints themselves.
Right. And there's a really cool film which I have to find for you called Honey Dripper that John Sayles directed, and it's about a juke joint in the 50s, and it's when the transition from piano to electric guitar starts to take over the clubs.
And it's called what?
Honey Dripper. It's Danny Glover is the club owner. Keb Moe is in it. Stacey Keach. It's a really fine independent film.
Wow.
And John Sayles is one of my favorites. This is the guy that gave us Secret of Rowan Anish, Matewan, and those pictures. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one. It didn't come to Indianapolis. I remember because I ranted about that. But it's if you have Netflix, I think you can go check that.
It.
You can go look for that. Or when I move into my new house, I can find it from my collection.
Okay.
But also the fact is. Who gets cast and how many films with an African American actress get made?
Right,
and especially
a period piece that calls for that kind of money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we got strikes against it, but we're not giving up.
Well, it's just like Billie Holiday's story was done by Motown.
Yes,
Berry Gordy.
Let's not let Berry Gordy direct. We saw Mahogany. Yeah, I went there too. How are we on time, Cobe? I didn't see it. 3 minutes. You know what? I think I'm going to save the I'll read this briefly and then maybe we'll share more of it next week. But yes, people have sent me this on Facebook, and yes, I wound up putting it on my own Facebook page, and I'll address this a little more next week. But the article, "Cool Dad Raising Daughter on Media That Will Put Her Entirely Out of Touch with Her Generation."
Now, who is this?
This is
from America's finest news source,
The Onion. This is a satirical newspaper. And I'll just read the lead. Local man Paul Campbell confirmed Saturday that he was raising his daughter, Emma, on a variety of media carefully selected to help her cultivate an appreciation for artistic quality, a move that will reportedly put the 12-year-old girl hopelessly out of touch with her generation. Everybody, and I make fun of myself for this as well, because of my daughter and the stuff I've been trying to show her. And, of course, the dad brings up everything from Miles Davis's Sketches of Spain, Danger Mouse, Stanley Kubrick, Billy Wilder, and the band Humble Pie, for you 70s rockin' bands out there. And at the end of the article, Emma says, "I definitely feel out of place sometimes," said Emma, who told reporters she will never forget the blank stare she once received upon mentioning Petula Clark. "It's nice to know what everybody's talking about for a change." Yes, this article was written about me.
Yep.
Bite me. So there's that. And we'll also play next week, I think, the article that was in The Onion with the video. Indianapolis announces really embarrassing bid for 2020 Summer Olympics.
Ooh.
Love The Onion. So you're right there, Cobe?
Yep.
Okay. So, Deborah, you know the door is always open. We'd love to have you here.
Thank you. I had a ball.
And you are going to be on the Blues House Party.
Yes.
Tomorrow night.
I can't wait.
A very female-centric Blues House Party. I can tell you that we are going to be playing some Billie Holiday, some Big Mama Thornton. Got some new music to
and
share with you.
I brought some stuff.
You did?
Yeah,
uh-oh.
I brought some stuff for you to listen to.
Uh-oh. And then I think I'm going to play a new cut from the new live album of Eric Clapton and Wynton Marsalis, who did it's out on Warner Brothers. It's a jazz at Lincoln Center, but it's a 10-piece big band that's playing.
And Clapton's on that?
Clapton's on it, with a special appearance by Taj Mahal on a couple of tracks.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I love Taj
really
Mahal.
Really cool. And actually, we're going to, also, just another note, Suki Lou is going to be appearing Wednesday night here at WFYI Studios, as we have a party for the screening of the documentary Prohibition. That starts at 5:30, 1630 North Meridian Street. You can see Suki and her piano man.
88.
Not Rich. Oh, 88?
Yeah.
Good. Not Mitch Woods, this is rocking 88, and not Richard Pryor's piano man, because they're both dead. But anyway, that's Wednesday night. You can see Prohibition. You can meet the staff here at WFYI. You can meet Suki Lou and get some advice, whether you want it or not. You know it's going to happen. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Deborah, thank you for hanging
thank
out with
you.
Us.
That was fun.
On behalf of Deborah Asante, Cobe Slagle, Sophia Loren, and Boyana Dolphin, I'm Matthew Sosi. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go to the Traveling Juke Joint next weekend. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. We go!